Hi guys, and welcome back to this week's episode of Life Lately. We're your hosts, Mel and Soph, and today we are discussing another round of hot topics. What's been hot?
It's hot.
It's, yeah.
There's been some juicy all the way up.
There's been some really juicy topics that have come about of late, and I think it would be really good if we just get right into it. So we'll be discussing all things from Love is Blind, yes, that TV program that has really got everyone talking. Is it actually blind? And also we'll be talking about the dreaded coronavirus that is making everyone here just remember their hygiene, which is probably the only good thing about coronavirus at the moment. And also, I just wanted us to discuss The Real Housewives of Atlanta. And specifically, Kenya and her husband or ex, I don't know. They're going through some ish right now. Her husband, Mark. So, yeah. So, should we get right into it?
Let's get into it.
Before we do, I just want to actually compliment you, Soph, on your skin. Your skin's actually looking really, really good.
Girl, it's been a trial by fire, man. We have gone through up, down, sideways.
Oh, thank you.
You're not wearing anything, are you?
I'm not. The interesting thing is I am doing less.
Maybe that's what's needed.
I think so. Because I just don't stick to all the routines that I used to before. I'm just keeping it simple.
Just keep it. There's water, right?
You're keeping it nourished.
Yeah.
And yes,
you know what? I can't see a pore in sight.
Oh, really?
Thank you, okay. You guys can't see this, but Sophie's actually rubbing her cheeks at the moment. But no, it's looking really good.
Pores.
No, there are no pores. It's, your skin's looking fresh.
Oh, thank you, darling. I appreciate that.
I just thought I'd say that, you know.
I might give my tips or not.
Oh, yeah, please do. Please do share those tips with us. But no, anyway, let's get into it. Should we talk about... Let's talk about Love is Blind. Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm actually...
So our friend got us onto this, right?
Yeah. Can we talk about that actually? When our friends, should we name her?
Yes,
should
we
just say Mary? Mary, this is dedicated to you, girl. But when she first, I think she was the first one to tell me about it. And I was like, oh, what is this? I was going through, I was just like, I ain't got time.
She texted us in a group chat. And Mel was very silent.
I was quite silent, wasn't I?
Yeah. So I was like, have you guys not watched this?
And I'm
like,
no, can't be asked. And then I heard about it in work at work, and then someone else spoke about it. I was like, oh, actually, what is this all about? Let me go onto Netflix. And, you know, me and my boyfriend, like, over, like, a day, we binge watched. We binge watched the whole of it, which was quite interesting. But, yeah, so...
Yeah, do you want to take us through what Love is Blind? What's the premise?
Oh, yeah. Okay, the premise, if you guys have been hiding underneath a rock at the moment, but Love is Blind, it's in the title. Basically, a group of people, male and female, I think there's about 15 men and 15 women who've never met before. The women stay in one area of a house, call it that, and the guys stay in another area, and basically they date. They go into this pod because they never see one another. They go into a pod for hours on end, going on quote-unquote dates, but they're in separate pods and they do not see what the other looks like. The men can see what the men look like because they all live together. The women can see what the women look like. They all live together. But in terms of male and female dating, they do not see each other. And then at the, I think in about 2 weeks or less, they get these mad emotions for one another and declare their love for another, and then the guy ends up proposing to the female without again seeing this female ever. And it's up to the woman, well, not up to the woman, but if they go ahead, if they both agree, mutually agree, yes, I want to marry you, then the next day, I think 24 hours later, they get to finally meet the person they proposed to. And then they have to go on this whole, it's all condensed into 1 month, because all of this happens in 1 month where they meet each other for the first time, start talking, propose, then they see each other, then they go off on their little honeymoon trip, and then they live together for about a couple of weeks, and then at the end of the month,
and
they get married.
Meet each other's parents,
friends, and see where each other live, and then... they get married, basically. They go to the altar and they decide actually at the altar whether they say I do or I don't. But this all literally happens in a month.
Yeah.
Basically.
Which, let's start with that.
Let's start with that?
Okay. It's like, it's not even speed dating. It's speed...
It's speed marriage. It's not even courting either. It's definitely speed marriage.
There's no time for anything.
There's no time. All you have time for are the emotions. I was like, I love you.
And they're
okay, so you're very kind skeptical, of
going
aren't
to
you?
Review about we're going to review this, but because for me, I'm like, I don't understand how within 10 days or 14 days or however long you're in a pod or the time limit that you are given, you could actually declare your undying love for somebody. Now, I do believe a connection can be made because all you're doing is chatting. That's fine.
Yeah.
I get that. It's like kind of like having a pen pal.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't meet this person. A connection
will be made, but love?
See, love. I'm the kind of hopeless romantic here, and I would like to think that that can happen.
Oh,
no. Best believe, I am sure I'm not the only one who, whether you be married already or single, but I was giving my boyfriend a side eye, like, listen, these people managed to find love and propose in 2 weeks. Yeah, in 2 weeks, okay? I'm still waiting, okay? We love each other, yeah or not? Huh? Do we love each other or not?
I dated for 6 years.
Huh?
I dated for 5 years.
Oh, see,
five,
so
six
so yeah. for 6 years.
I just don't understand how within 2 weeks
two weeks.
Have met, not even really met.
No, because you haven't seen each other. You still have not seen one another.
And the way they declared love for each other was very
crying and all sorts.
Outlandish and very like...
It's like, I love you. I love you too.
I'll never leave you. How
I'll
do
never
you know
leave
that?
You. Mate, like, there were some secrets up in there that I was like, listen,
you know what I've said.
Child.
If you have brown teeth, I'm sorry. The love has died.
So definitely for Sophie, love is not blind.
If you had brown teeth, I'm sorry. My love is officially
like,
over.
I have to see you first, mate. If you got brown teeth, show me your smile.
So, yeah. I might come out. You might propose. I come out and then I see brown teeth and I'm like, sorry.
Well, that can happen. That's fair because, you know, you come out and think, oh, your voice does not match your face. I don't know if I actually feel this way about you. And that I think that was happening
in the show, wasn't it? It definitely happened.
Anyway,
that's my first issue with
that's,
this.
That's your issue.
Yeah. Like declaring all that stuff because love is tested. There has been no testing.
There has been no test.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks of a sort
I love
of kind
you
of
without any troubles.
Yes, exactly. Because we like coffee, we love dogs.
We like the same book.
We love the same book.
Yeah.
You sound like a nice guy.
Yeah.
And now I love you. No.
I'm sorry. I mean, even being a Christian doesn't even cut it.
No.
I don't care.
I mean, like, if it, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean we are cut out for each other.
No.
So
not at,
I just,
not
anyway,
at all.
From that perspective, I was like, I was already suspicious.
Which couple did you like the most? There was about six couples at the end.
I think
you're gonna say the most popular one.
I think so.
Yeah,
Lauren and Cameron.
Lauren and Cameron.
What's it called? Multiracial? No, what's
interracial?
Multiracial.
The interracial
couple.
The interracial couple
was my favorite.
Yeah,
I liked that. Her father really grilled.
I like that too. I like that they kept it real. Like,
yes.
You are a white guy. This is a black female. And it's not just that. It is literally the social aspect of it all. How do you deal with these sort of things?
Yes.
How are you going to raise the children?
That's like, have you ever been in a room full of black people?
And those sort of things do matter. I mean, you hear it thrown around a lot where people say, oh, I don't see colour. Well, please do, because that in itself is an issue.
That's a reality.
That's a reality. That's an issue. If you don't see colour, then that is saying a lot.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be real with these sort of things.
Yeah.
It's not this airy fairy of, oh yeah, I love you and I love you. You have to kind of get down to the real ish.
Yes.
The real tea. But yeah, her dad was
Awesome. I liked Lauren actually.
Yeah.
I felt like she, in terms of representing black women, I think she did that.
She did very well. She didn't flare up. She didn't, act out of character
like,
or anything like that.
I mean, I didn't see any twerking.
There was no twerking.
She still
had a good character.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And she had, she was a bit fiery in some moments, but I found her to be like a wholesome.
She was very wholesome.
A wholesome young lady. Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, the other ladies did not carry themselves that way.
No. But you were saying something about Cameron and being touchy-feely.
Was I?
Yes, you did. You were just like, he was too... Was it you or was it somebody else I was talking about?
Oh, but I did feel that way as well. He is very touchy-feely, but I don't know if that's a white guy thing. I don't know if
white
guys
are
doing this. And their feelings. You know what? To be fair, I did find, and as much as it was so sweet, they were both very sweet, but I did find that he was a bit too full on. And because she had, it was very used to being on her own. That whole, I bought a house, this is for us, and you can be here too, and I love you. That's all that matters. It's like, yeah, I get that you, but I just felt like it was a bit too much, like he should have just been like, yeah, it's okay. You know, I don't know. There was a bit of that, but I think he was just, he just really loved her.
It was puppy love. It was just like,
no, I don't think it was puppy love. I think he was very, I don't know. Sophie had her tongue hanging out at that moment. But no, I don't think it was puppy love because I think being the person he is, he's a scientist. Yes. So he thinks very, you know.
He's logical.
He's very logical. Yeah, methodological. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Anyway. Yes, he's very much that. Mm-hmm. And and so, yeah, I don't think it was puppy love at all. I think it was very down to earth and grounded. I think he knew that she was black. I mean, coming from, like, I just think he knew. Yeah. And so he gravitated to her a lot because he has dated black women before, and that might be his preference.
It could be. The one thing I didn't see with them was how his parents reacted to her.
Yeah, I know.
They didn't show that, did they?
They didn't really show that, okay, but fine. I thought it was very sweet in terms of when they were at the altar and you saw that mum was like, amen, and she was just like tearing. I think that was all lovely. Yeah. That was very sweet because I just like the Christian side of things.
Yes.
But yeah, what rich couple shocked you?
Oh, Jessica and Mark.
Oh, listen. Listen, you know what?
This whole program should be called Mark is Blind.
Definitely. Mark is Blind.
Mark was very blind.
That's going to be our, should that be our title? Mark is Blind.
Mark is Blind.
No, but seriously.
He annoyed me. He was the puppy love, I think.
He was definitely the puppy love. And I know that a lot of the time age was mentioned, but I don't think he did himself any favours because, to be honest, it really did come across as this is a young jock kid, a teenager who's just met this really hot older girl. It's like, oh my God, I love her.
Yes.
Like there were so many signs, Mark. So many signs.
Oh, how did he miss all of that? Every time he tried to kiss her, the girl turned.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about in the pod where they were both I love you, I love you. Yeah, okay, they established that they both loved each other. But she obviously liked Barnett. And he knew this because obviously speaking to Barnett, as I said, the guys can speak to each other, they live together.
Yes.
He knew that Barnett was having a conversation with her. Uh-huh. So he knew all this. And then when she dumps Mark because she's thinking and believing that she's going to get with Barnett because Barnett has said, you know, if you just give me a clear decision, I can marry you.
He had said that if she was the only person,
if she was the only person in the house,
he would marry her.
Well, like Barnett, fair enough, he shouldn't have said that. However, darling, and I think us as females, we do latch on to what men say too much, and we need to stop letting our emotions get the better of us and actually think, what is the man actually saying? He's not actually saying he's going to marry you. He just said, if there's no other women in here, what does that mean?
Yes.
There are other women in here, so he ain't going to marry you.
My attention is spread.
He did not say he's going to marry you. He said, if you were the only person in here, I would marry you.
Yeah.
You are not the only person in here. So therefore, I ain't going to marry you, darling. But anyway, she took it as a green light that she should break up with Mark. And then she broke up with Mark. And then she went with Barnett. And Barnett changed his mind within 24 hours and said, no, I don't feel that way about you.
Yeah.
What did my girl do? She ran back to the pod to Mark and said, you know, I can't remember exactly what she said, but she wants to be with him. She made a mistake. Barnett was too in her head. And what did the fool do?
He actually
proposed to her. My darling, you were second best. In fact, you weren't even second best. My theory is with that she said yes only to stay on the show.
I tend to agree with that.
I think
once Barnett said no.
Yeah.
I think at that juncture, she should have left.
She should have left. But she wanted to stay on the show. She played Mark like a football man. And then wasn't it funny where all the couples who didn't know that, because they were all going to go to Mexico, but they didn't know that they were all be in the same place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then when the couples saw who they all look like, oh my God,
Jessica was like,
this is the man I wanted. But she really wanted Barnett.
What I really didn't like about Jessica as well, her behavior towards Amber, very disrespectful towards Amber. But also how she kept
going up to Barnett.
Projecting her stuff. Like, and also I just want to make and sure also that planting you're happy. Seeds. I just want to make sure because are you sure?
Are you I'm sure? Like, and I didn't think that you and Amber would be together. Yeah, like sure? she was proper happy? Putting seeds in his head, planting seeds in his head, and she was saying
the
things
guy
like
made his decision. The guy made his decision,
and you know what? He was very respectful in terms of he's like, you know, I would like to be like he didn't want to hurt her feelings mm-hmm. again because mm-hmm. he's very conscious that he did, but at the same time he wants to make it clear like, well, I'm very happy with my choice
yeah.
of Amber.
Yeah.
And he also made a very valid point. He said to her, uh-huh. So why did you say yes?
Yes.
Why yeah. did you say yes to Mark?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a hot mess, but at the reunion where Oof. Amber was just like Amber calling her a bee and all sorts. Woo, child. Oh, mate.
Amber went off on her, which I think was fair play, man.
It was fair play, to be
fair
honest.
Play to Amber.
It was fair play because at the end of the day, this is marriage here, and she had a point. You were engaged
she
to
was
someone
engaged
else.
Somebody else.
Like, how dare you? And I really can't stand when females.
And she also lied to Amber because remember the time they were kind of a bit tipsy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, no, I heard that you thought that I wanted.
Oh yeah, that you wanted me to be Barnett. I don't feel for him like that anymore. Do you know, even up to this very day, on this very day,
yeah.
that Jessica is friends with Barnett, is following Barnett on Instagram, but she's not following Amber.
Oh, I do not know this.
So even then, okay. my girl, back away, back away,
yeah,
back away.
Goodbye.
This leave. Work, and leave. That's why Amber's calling you out of your
mm-hmm,
name.
Mm-hmm.
You need to back away. And I can't, what I was saying earlier is I just can't stand women. Or even men who make the excuse of being drunk. Like, oh, that was not me. I was being drunk.
Yeah.
Darling, that is you.
Yeah.
That was you.
Yeah.
You were telling the 100% truth. You uh-huh, were just more uh-huh, confident uh-huh. to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It's just a whole hot mess.
Hot mess with Jessica. Mark. Oh, Mark.
Mark. I didn't actually feel sorry for him, you know. I really didn't.
Poor
he
guy.
Just got my nerves.
He just wanted love, but
he got my nerves. He saw a hot woman and thought, "My gosh,
you
I can't
think
believe
that's
this."
That's what it was.
Well, he can. You know, he was more mature. He was actually focused on this, and
mm-hmm.
it did get very annoying when Jessica kept on going on about
age. Yeah.
Like,
the
come
age
on, woman.
Thing was her.
It was her.
She had told herself like no.
It was her. Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's just stupid because Barnett was 27. Come on now.
Oh, really?
Mark was 24.
Oh,
that's
okay.
not
so
that
not
much.
No,
it's not a big difference. So, my girl, no.
I think she saw Mark. Her heart sank.
Yeah.
And she's just like, well, gotta try and get out of this.
Yeah.
anyway,
yeah, for sure.
Possible. It was also interesting that when they were getting married, she walked down the aisle alone. I didn't see
you know what?
Anybody. So, I think she had made her decision.
She was there for a quick out.
Yeah.
She was there to make her point. And what I also thought... Who? What bride? What bride does not have flowers? She had nothing in her hand.
She had nothing in her hand.
She went straight.
Straight down.
Straight down. Going over done with.
It was only like 3, 4, 5 people.
Yeah.
No parents. No.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was just friends.
Yeah.
Who I think she had already told is not going to happen.
It's not
going to
happen.
I'm not going to involve other people.
Yeah. She had already
she
made up her mind.
She just walked in and walked out.
I think she probably forgot her flowers in the dressing room or something. But as a bride, apart from the dress... I would say mm-hmm. the other important thing is your bouquet of flowers, mate. What do you do with your hands?
I'm well.
She marched down the aisle.
She marched down.
And she marched back out.
Okay. So let's speak about Amber and Barnett. Did you think that they'd last? Because they've been married
for over a year and a half.
November 2018.
Yeah, a year and a bit.
Yeah. I didn't think that they'd last as a married
couple.
I didn't.
You didn't think.
No.
Yeah, she's definitely... She comes across as trailer trash. I'm so sorry, Amber. Oh. She comes across as like a hillbilly. which I don't think... And he's more like conservative and all that jazz. She's definitely very fiery. I don't know.
She's a fiery character. It was interesting watching his family react to her.
Oh, that was so uncomfortable.
Yeah. I was just like...
Oof.
Girl, just be quiet, please.
Please
now.
Be quiet.
Just be quiet.
Please
you talk
be
to
quiet.
Barnett, you want to talk, but around family, just
yeah, just knowing about that. But I guess maybe they were very upfront in saying that they were thinking of getting divorced. It got to that point
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because I think in terms of they're both very full on. Oh, she's definitely very full on, and I
they
suppose,
look like party people.
Yeah,
like,
and he even said that. He
yeah.
said, "I just want to have fun."
Yeah.
I mean, when you're looking to get married. I want to have fun. I want to marry the
they
two.
Looked,
excuse
yeah,
the
they
pun.
Actually
together.
Very mature. I don't. Well, okay, they've lasted. Good for them. But I, looking at them, I was just like, these two maybe date, but don't get, you're too immature for marriage. Yeah,
you're not quite ready yet.
You're not quite ready. Not there yet.
Not quite there yet.
But fair play to them, man.
Fair play.
They've lasted. They talked about their finances.
They did.
And
we can go so far and broad into this topic, because there's things about fight and bringing on other people's debt. How do you feel about that?
Yes.
Is that a deal breaker? That's a deal breaker for some people, which rightly so. I mean, there's a lot of deal breakers that were in that show. but what went left, what I did not see coming, and to be honest with you, when I was watching it with my partner, I was saying, oh, let's just fast forward over this one because we know what's going to happen. They're going to get married. My gosh, Kenny and Kelly.
Kenny and Kelly were a shock.
That was a shocker.
I thought she was, anyway.
Yeah, because
actually,
you know what?
No, I say that. However.
When you look back, you kind of see the...
When I look back, I can see that she was hesitant.
Yeah, she didn't want to have sex with him. I mean, good that you don't have sex, but she kept on forcing... I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't even the sex thing. It was that every time she spoke to her sister, I could feel her hesitating. Like,
yeah.
She was always like... But I did think they'd get married only because both sets of parents seemed to have gotten married very quickly.
That's what I was gonna say. Both sets of parents literally had more or less the same thing where they met and then 2 months later they were getting engaged or married.
Yeah. So based on that,
yeah.
And actually their relationship didn't seem
like there was any problems.
Like there were problems.
No, there was no turbulence. Yeah. There's no
So when she said no.
Because you know, only that.
Especially after expressing your undying love.
Exactly.
On the pulpit.
Oh, exactly. But not only that. Before that, like an episode or so before that, she was actually saying, oh my God, he's everything. I can't ask for more. Yes. My God, then what is left for you to actually say no? But when I was doing my little, because guys, I will confess that I have had to find other ways to feed my addiction to binge watching Love is Blind. So I've actually been watching like interviews that they've done now since then and where everyone's up to. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, Kelly was saying that before they walked down the aisle, they had actually discussed, like her and Kenny had discussed actually saying no, and they both agreed to say no at the altar. It's just that, you know those ones where two people are about to go and rob a bank or do something, you have a plan, a game plan, it's solid. This is what we're going to do. And then you walk in and all of a sudden the other person is saying something else. It's like, hello, what the hell? We were just saying. So I think that's what happened. And she obviously carried on and said no.
But I feel, deep in my heart, I feel that she let go of a really...
She let go of a really good thing.
Yeah, on the surface...
On surface there, yeah, because we obviously they edited it in a way that made it look like there was nothing wrong with them. But of course, there must have been talks, discussions and all that sort of stuff. But and I agree, because at the reunion, he seemed pretty smug to say, you know,
I'm in a very happy relationship.
And not only that, but he actually said, because of the show, I've actually grown even better. Wow. If that's not really knocking the other person down.
And
she is single, guys. Man. She's still single a year and a half later. That is, to me, I don't know. Whether I like the guy or not, I'll still be in my feelings and think, damn it.
Damn it. Oh, dear. Okay.
But let's love talk is about blind.
Somebody else who said no. Giannina and Damian.
My God, that girl, she's scary.
Giannina confuses me.
She is dangerous. She's bipolar or something.
Okay, maybe not bipolar.
No, she's something. Schizophrenic?
I don't know.
She's crazy. She's crazy, okay? Maybe she's toned down now, but okay. Maybe not those things. Maybe those things are too harsh and hurtful. Maybe she's a sport brat. Maybe that's what it is then.
Oh.
What? Yeah. Listen.
Okay.
When she was in the kitchen after the job. No, in fact, after she called him a mother effer twice.
Oh, she did? Yeah.
Hello, when they were in the apartment, and she was like, will you just be quiet and listen to me?
When they were in separate rooms?
No. This was the night before when Jessica was acting drunk. And
everything. Oh, okay.
And she was like, mother effer, will you listen to me? What the hell?
Oh, yeah.
My God.
The way she fights.
The way she said, she did raise a red flag in the pod and said she self-sabotages.
She does self-sabotage, but I found her... overly, like, she was very combative, which is what I didn't like.
You know what my partner pointed out to me, because Chris mentioned something very interesting. This was before the whole blow up, but this was actually in the pods, and he was like, in terms of like gender roles, and people may or may not agree with gender roles,
yeah,
but you know, obviously, traditionally, the guy would propose. And he proposed and she's like, no, I'm going to do it differently. Will you marry me? And
because we are equals.
Because we're equals. And in my head, I was thinking,
girl,
she sounds very dominated.
Yeah.
And not only that, when they met each other and he gave her his bow tie and put it on her arm, she took it off and put it around her neck. Now I'm thinking, are you trying to be a man? And then, so then it's all those things. And so, yeah, and when she was coming at him, like attacking him, saying, you know when you said that this is the best sex you've ever had?
When she said that, I just wanted to dive under the sofa. All I could think about was,
my God, your Mr. Damien, your workmates, the people you work with are watching this right now. Your family are watching this right now. And everyone is...
No, that was so bad.
She's
that
below the belt. She's awful. Man. It was all toxic. I would say that relationship's very toxic. You've got her who's self-sabotaging, got Damien who seems not just needy, but he seems emotionally vulnerable.
Yeah, I can't place Damien actually.
Yeah, like he liked it. Because after she teared him down, I don't feel butterflies anymore. I don't know if I love you. Then when she's ready to jump on him, literally in the same moment.
The butterflies had gone. And this is the problem with Love is Blind 4 weeks of... Yes, of course, the butterflies will... Like, seriously, love is not about butterflies, woman. Like, grow up.
I know. But then after all of that, after calling him a mother effer the night before, after saying the sex ain't great and everything, she then jumps on him and he starts kissing her. They're just a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
And then he obviously, proper. I think he couldn't wait for that moment where he could say no to her at the altar.
I was secretly glad.
I'm glad. She did need to be knocked down a peg or two. She really did.
Maybe she needed to be knocked down, but I felt like
it shouldn't have happened.
He stood in his truth,
recognizing
that she was up and down and all over the place, and he just could not trust what she was saying on the pulpit,
in that moment.
Going to carry that.
Yeah, and she probably wouldn't have if he had said yes. But I think because they said no, and I don't know, spoiler alert, they're together now today. But even when he said no, and she stormed off and everything, to the cameras, he was still like, I will still be with her. That's when I thought, this is a toxic relationship. Okay. This is too much, man, guys.
If you are not sure on the pulpit, why carry on?
I know. It's like, I think you secretly love this. You love this.
I'm
not dominating this kind of rough,
Ooh,
relationship. I can't do that, man.
She was very forward. She's pushy.
She's pushy. Yeah. On the first night of them getting to Mexico, she's saying she must have sex.
Oh my God.
And I respected him as a man for saying, I don't feel the need. We need to have sex right now. And wow, but she was ready,
I am the dessert, honey.
Oh, I don't know if I could.
Why are you having chocolate ice cream?
I'm the dessert. I'm not hungry. But I don't know. If that was me, I could not be having sex with you. She's scary. She's very scary. But Love is Blind was very interesting.
Oh, Lord. Okay, finally, the two who didn't make it down the...
They didn't even make it barely to Mexico.
Diamond and Carlton. This one... Carlton.
Oof.
Now, my thing with Carlton, and I think Diamond was really trying her best.
She does. And fair to her, to be honest. Fair to her. Sorry.
Carlton. Okay, actually, I must say, without even knowing the story about his sexuality.
Yeah.
The fact that he walked out on Amber at the pod.
Oh, yeah.
Put me off, Carlton.
Yeah,
that's where it started for me.
He was rude.
You didn't have to do that. You could just be like, okay, you could have cut the conversation short.
Yeah.
Instead of just leaving somebody hanging. So that told me about his character.
His character is very skewed.
Played out.
Yeah, I agree.
And then he has this big secret about, what is it? He's bisexual?
He's fluid. I don't know. I don't know what the difference is, but yeah.
He's attracted to her.
He's attracted to hearts, not gender.
Souls, not gender.
Yeah.
The fact that he did not disclose that before getting engaged.
Yeah.
I felt like punching that guy right in the face.
But you know what people would argue, and this is me just being devil's advocate because this is not what I believe, but people would argue that you don't have to disclose that.
Why don't you have to? What is your reason for not having to?
I personally think it's very much important. It's hugely important. The same way how you would say, disclose that you don't want to have children before you propose to someone, or you do, you know.
The same way you disclose you want five boyfriends. This is a big deal, man.
It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal for a heterosexual person who has those kind of values. It's very important. And I think the same way how people would want to respect a person who is fluid, who's LGBTQ, who is whatever, the same way how it needs to be respected from a heterosexual point of view, mm-hmm. of these sort of things are important to us and they need to be disclosed, whether you feel comfortable with it or not, and whether you agree with it or not. Yeah. This is a very important thing. If you're going into a program that is, I don't know how it was filtered, but it seems to be a heterosexual type of program,
yes.
whereby it's a man meets a woman, they're dating man and woman, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That is very important, because there's someone that's coming in who has different
who has a clear view
of what they want, as in terms of not by looks necessarily, but by values, but by morals, but by, you know, Christianity, by religion, Christianity, it all plays in. And I think that's very important. You have to be upfront. And then, because there are people out there who are fine with that.
Yeah.
And want that. And then that's fine.
So go find that person
who is happy with that. But allow, and I think where probably Diamond was, you know, hurt, was Diamond where really she tried. Wasn't,
oh. huh? She really...
She did try. And she... Well, I think where she probably would have been hurt from looking at it as a viewer is that she was not... Her choice, her freedom of choice was taken away from her.
Yes,
because you were not upfront.
You were not upfront.
You know. Yeah. And I think that's
before
very important.
Before you propose to somebody, please, you know... And,
you have
and
to disclose
the
everything.
Is, the whole point of being in the pod
yeah.
was for that vulnerability.
For the vulnerability.
So that you know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah.
So basically, this experiment for you, Carlton, meant nothing, because that was the place actually to lay it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody wants to accept you like that, and wouldn't you want somebody who would accept you knowing all of that?
Yeah.
You don't want somebody going into something thinking one thing and then you just throw this curveball out of nowhere and then get upset.
Yeah. So, and then get upset. But so addressing that, but taking away the whole sexuality thing out of the picture, oh my God, the character of Carlton was not good. There were so many red flags.
Yeah.
As you said, walking out, Amber was one, but another one was when they literally just touched down into Mexico and his whole demeanor changed. The way he was talking to her, the way he was attacking her, almost like saying like, oh, you better be lucky or proud or happy that you're pretty. Huh? What? Oh, well, you're going to be, your t-shirt's going to say, don't effing talk to me. And she was like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, those sort of things. And I would say, as a female, going to that situation where you have been so vulnerable, like literally you're going on this reality TV show, you've just said yes, you just got engaged to someone who you actually don't actually know, you've never met, and now you're seeing them. My God, the last thing you want, the worst nightmare is them coming across as someone who, my God, that's not the person I was supposed to speak to the pod. Yeah. Why are you talking to me like this?
Exactly.
And this is what, just touching, shy of 2 weeks.
Yes.
And you're like this.
You're already like this.
You're already like, so like on tender hooks already about the whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want anything to be out of place. And just that attitude was just too, it was just wild. It was wild.
No, I think Diamond dodged a bullet. Man.
She dodged a bullet. And I think, I'm sure she's reflected on it thinking, I dodged a bullet. And not just the whole sexuality thing. It's more so just the demeanor. It's even after he came out. And yes, of course, it's a very vulnerable time for him as well. But calling a woman, calling your future wife out of her name, calling her B, are you crazy? Mm-hmm. Because she rightfully asked some questions.
And actually, I don't think she was even necessarily going to reject him per se, but she wanted to understand it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because she went away, she prayed about it, she was thinking about it,
and now we have to talk about it. But you don't want to talk, instead you want to call me names.
Instead you want to play victim and play the defense card. And I think that got in the way of
things. And this is why I don't, like, no.
No,
like,
because then you started, now you're lying. Because before, when you were doing your interviews and stuff, you were saying that in the past you've been rejected by girls and blah, blah. And then now when Diamond is talking to you about this, you're being defensive and saying, well, other girls are fine with it. People mm-hmm. where I'm not even in a situation with them, they're fine with it.
Yeah, because they're not in a situation with you. But,
yeah, but even
once
then,
they're involved into a relationship that is heading towards marriage, they might have an issue with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they have it. But even then, that doesn't really sound right to me, because if that is truly the case, then you would have had no problem opening up to her in the pods
yes,
where
earlier.
She's never met you. Mm-hmm. You should feel very 100% to be like, well, girls accept it, so hey, this
yeah,
is what I am.
This is what it is.
But clearly that's not what it is. And let's not water down the severity of these situations, like the seriousness of these situations. It's
yeah.
very serious. It's not a flippant, oh, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It has an impact. It is very important at the end of the day.
Yeah. And it's interesting that at the reunion, he...
Oh, God.
He gave her...
He gave her the ring back. That was very awkward.
I was so cringing.
I was thinking, Carlton, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Like,
what are you doing? What are you doing?
I want to, as a sign of what? Friendship.
As a sign of friendship? Oh,
I don't need a ring from you.
No,
just
and
mine.
Not my marriage finger.
Yeah. He went on one knee and
went
everything.
On one knee. Oh, that's so awkward. Again, putting her in
yeah,
an awkward
situation. Where now she has to, like, you know, not look like she's
the bad one.
The bad one, anti-gay or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, homophobic.
Homophobic. And now she has to accept this ring, and now it's on her what do you call it?
Her engagement ring.
Finger. And it's the same. Like, just stop, man.
Yeah, it's this. But
just
yeah,
stop,
I think bless Carlton. He's definitely going through some stuff. He's definitely having his own demons, his own battles inwardly that he needs to face. And I think
mm-hmm.
that because he's going through those things, he shouldn't be in like. Proposing to someone, let
oh,
alone.
No. Why are you on this pro? Like,
yeah.
No,
yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah,
no.
That wasn't good.
So, yeah. So, basically, those are our thoughts, man.
But
would you ever,
is love really blind? So,
Mark is blind.
Mark is blind.
No.
That's the conclusion.
Mark is blind. Is love blind? No.
I don't
believe love is blind.
I think that's a very scary thing, actually. That's a very dangerous thing.
It is dangerous to be blindly in love.
Because all sorts of things can happen. We can talk about domestic violence,
for sure.
Where you're not getting out of a very dangerous or vulnerable situation because you're so in love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always the best thing for you. So
I think
love is an emotion. It's very flippant. It's not...
Yeah, but it's real. It's you deal with real... things, which means it cannot be blind.
Okay.
And it's a choice you make daily, knowing what you know about somebody, the good, the bad, the ugly,
mm-hmm.
and choosing to love that person. So therefore, love to me cannot be blind.
Yeah,
it is aware.
But I suppose this show was only focused. Well, actually, maybe
was
not.
It focusing on looks?
Was it focusing on just physical looks? Maybe I don't know.
I guess physically, yes, you can say it is blind in that way.
Mm.
But generally, nah. All these other things. You know, like when Giannina got her phone back and it became an issue. People, things.
Yeah.
For what they are. And you make a decision based on that. And you're like, I will love you in spite of...
In spite of, not despite.
XYZ, not despite.
Not despite.
Yeah. Ooh, but I would not be the person
you
to
would
show...
Not do
no,
that?
I'd rather be single for the rest of my life than go on... This or the Bachelorette or all these other hooking up.
Yeah, I think, again, the hopeless romantic in me would be like, yeah, I'll go for it and stuff. But then the just having to deal with people who are not showing their true selves or any kind of things that, I don't know, it's just, a human being so complex. And I think to throw yourself... in a situation that is so, well, you can call it permanent, but there's divorce these days.
Yes.
But, you know, something so permanent, so serious as marriage within a matter of a couple of
weeks.
I mean, I think Lauren and Cameron, they strike themselves very lucky.
Yes, and Amber.
And Amber and Barnett as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's for everyone, obviously. And
yeah.
I don't think everyone should just throw, it's not, this is not Big Brother here.
No,
it's a huge,
exactly.
It's totally different.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah,
those are our thoughts.
Yeah. So, closing the chapter on Love is Blind and still speaking about love, let's talk about Kenya
and Mark,
more and Mark
on the Real Housewives of Atlanta. So, you know what?
Do you think actually they didn't know each other that long?
They didn't either, no.
Uh-huh.
They got married.
You see what I mean?
They got married in 6 months of knowing each other, I think. for meeting and all that jazz.
And
6 months.
Now everything is
falling apart. Oh, but you know what? I love Kenya. I'm Stan. I'm like Kenya Stan.
I'm giving you a side
I'll give you a side eye too. This is we're in two different corners here. Sophie does not like Kenya.
I don't like Kenya.
I've
never liked Kenya.
I think Kenya's
poor Kenya.
Yeah, people are always ganging up on Kenya. Haters.
Which people are ganging up? She gangs up and she goes like, she's just too much for me.
She's too much, but you know, don't go for her then, I say.
Okay, anyway, let's talk about the relationship.
On that basis, let's talk about the relationship, yes. Oh my God.
So, I feel for Kenya. Yeah. I may not like Kenya, but I feel for Kenya. As a woman. we've talked about sisterhood, so.
We have. You know, so, as a sister, Sophie, yes.
I feel for Kenya. And that's about it.
Okay.
So, I know she, you know, knowing Kenya's background and her always having wanted this home and, you know, home as in husband, kids, loving family and all that, knowing where she came from.
Mm-hmm.
I feel sorry and bad that it's not turning out to be that. Because I think she is genuine in that quest to be, you know, to be loved and to love somebody. Mark.
Wow.
I mean, I've watched it and okay, that is not... We can't say that what we've seen on The Real Housewives is the sum of their relationship.
Yeah.
However, he is wrong on so many things.
He is wrong on so many things.
So many things. Like,
yeah, from what we have seen.
From what we have seen. Now, I, like you, with Love is Blind, I like to watch like behind the scenes and listen to other people's commentaries on this.
To get a well-rounded perspective.
So, I understand Candy said that she's seen them in other situations where actually they've been very lovey-dovey. It's just that what we've seen so far on The Real Housewives...
He doesn't like the cameras. That's what's been said.
I think it's the cameras that are really irritating him more than anything.
And I suppose her lifestyle of that, her career.
Yes.
He doesn't like her
because
career.
Because that's why she left in the first place, right?
And good
so
on
why
her.
Why did she come back?
Well, maybe...
She needed a check? I don't know.
No, stop trying to, like...
I'm just asking because when she left, she said, I'm leaving Real Housewives because I don't want a divorce. She verbalized that.
Yeah.
And she left for a year.
Yeah.
So, clearly it was a problem then. Clearly it has not changed to date. Why would you come back?
I suppose maybe that's her identity, the Real Housewives. This is her...
But it's been your lifelong dream to have this home. Now you have it.
We don't know the reasons why she came back. Maybe they had a discussion. He was like, yeah, okay. Because obviously, as we can see from Mark, he is very much dominating. He has his own mind. If he ain't going to do something, he ain't going to do something. We saw that at the bowling thing and everything, right?
Ooh, the fact that he called her Ken. And Ken.
Come here, Ken.
And Ken was like...
But you know what? She's submissive. She's being a wife. And I think she's showing that respect. And she doesn't
Mark
want it to break.
Mark is the one person who can put Kenya in her place.
Yeah, he is. But I would have thought that they would have had that conversation of going back on the show and he would have agreed to it. Hence why she went back on the show. If he really didn't want to do it, he ain't going to do it.
I found him to be quite disrespectful.
He's so awful.
He's made many comments about her, openly disagreeing with her, taking somebody's side even though they don't get on. And this is the thing about marriage.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter if I am on the wrong, mate. You are my husband, you stick up for me.
Yeah.
It don't matter.
Yeah.
We can talk about all these things when cameras are off, when, you know, it's me and you.
Yeah.
Correct me then.
Yeah.
But the fact that he'll go and he'll be like, I have no problem with Nini.
Yeah.
Me and Nini are cool.
Yeah.
So therefore, she's coming. And the wife is like, but wait, I got a problem.
Yeah, exactly. But I've got a problem. And she's got a very valid point. If the two don't like each other, I don't want you around my space.
Yeah.
And he should stick up for her. And most certainly, yep. As Portia was like, she was like, yep. I agree. Yep. Yes. We agree. Thank you very much. But it just, I don't know, from looking at it from an outsider, it would seem that, and you know, we would always say, especially when it comes to men, how if they are distracted, have mm-hmm. some other woman on the side or something, you can always tell because he is not I mean, he doesn't have sex with her. You know, he's not interested in her. He's never interested in her.
I've never seen him showing interest in her.
Not interested in her. And I would have to say that is because, mate, you're distracted elsewhere. I don't know what's happening in New York, but you're distracted elsewhere. Mm. And I think he just wasn't in the whole marriage thing. And I, to be honest, I don't know, obviously we didn't see the whole thing, but I think that Kenya she definitely made an effort in the marriage. She definitely made an effort in terms of being, quote unquote, a good wife, or yes, you know, serving him as a wife and a husband, and he just wasn't the same. And like, you know, small little things like how he doesn't acknowledge her, like, no, saying thank you to my wife. She put the whole thing together. It's just nasty piece of work, and it's just quite upsetting, really.
Yeah. But I hear he apologized for.
He apologized for the night, but he didn't apologize for her to her.
Oh, he apologized for the night.
Yes.
As in how he...
How he was in the night, yeah. In terms of the night, he wasn't... I think he was a bit anxious or whatever. So he was apologizing for that, like, to the men, to, okay, like, the men's charity thing.
Okay.
But he didn't apologize...
He didn't apologize to her.
To her and how he treated her, no.
Oof.
Probably not publicly. Maybe he did... Maybe he did privately. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But anyway, I wish her well, and, you know, it's never a good thing for a marriage and a family to...
Yeah.
Break up.
No.
But for sure, if nothing changes, then there will be. Have they broken up? I think they're working on it.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. They might. I think they're working on it. But
maybe,
yeah.
On it. But yeah. Yeah, you can't have a spouse who is not in your corner.
Yeah. That's one thing, yeah, that won't work with it.
And I think that was the biggest thing for me. I just never saw him. Even if Kenya was wrong, I never, you know, like inviting Nini over and all that. And she's like, I'd never separate a marriage like a couple.
Yeah.
Which was a valid point. Like, you can't invite the husband and not invite the wife because you're driving a wedge between the two.
Yeah.
I get that. But what I would have done if I was him was saying, if you're uncomfortable with Nini coming, then I will retract my invitation to Greg so that both of them, none of them comes.
Yeah.
As opposed to, she's coming whether you like it or not because you're not going to drive a wedge between. You,
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah. He needs to respect that. It's just very sad. But Kenya, I'm rooting for you, girl. And I hope you
I'm
do find it.
I'm rooting for you in your marriage. But other things, girl, bye.
I'm rooting for you throughout the whole thing. Kenya, I'm rooting for you. And on that note.
And on that note, coronavirus.
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, Mel.
Coronavirus.
Honestly, this virus, man, is driving the world.
It's mad. Nuts. It's worse than Ebola. Listen.
I know, we were not this scared about Ebola. Not. Ebola was worse.
Ebola was worse. But obviously, because it was only happening in Africa.
In Africa, we were
everyone,
okay.
Everyone was all okay. But you know what? I'm just giving everybody a side eye with this whole Chinese virus. Apparently, it's a Chinese virus. But I'm just like, okay. As I said in the beginning, the only good thing about this coronavirus is that it's teaching people to be hygienic, which I do not understand. For the life of me, I do not understand why we need to tell adults how to wash their hands. Like, that you should sing the birthday song. You just need to sing the birthday song as you're washing your hands. Really? Really? You need to know how to wash your hands? Listen, before coronavirus, we should be side-eyeing people who are coming out of toilets and not washing your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about females. I don't know about the men, but I'm talking
sure
about females.
They do the same thing.
And the men do the same. Of course they would. But I'm just like, I'm looking at you. Side-eye.
Or sneezing just...
Sneezing, coughing, yawning, all that kind
yawning.
Of nonsense.
What's wrong with yawning?
Cover your mouth. No. When you're yawning, please. Cover your mouth. I would love a fly or a fist to fly into your mouth if you did not cover your mouth. Please. Thank you. But people are nasty. Nasty as heck. And this whole coronavirus. Mate, to be honest, I'm not even scared about it.
No, I'm a bit scared. I make... Poor guy. Carl literally knocks on the door. I open for him and I'm like, gosh.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't bring your coronavirus.
Don't bring your coronavirus. But yeah.
Me, I'm in the house by myself.
Mm.
So best believe, if there's any coronavirus to meet me here, I did not spread it.
Not only
I
that, but
alone.
What's going to happen if you
I
have to self-quarantine? I know. Baptized, holy.
Baptized.
Ghost.
I have not
sanctified.
Come into contact with people for days.
Yeah, but it's mad. Yeah, I know it's. But to be fair, is as much as I'm saying I'm not scared about it. But when, because I live in the heart of London town, and from time to time I would get the tube. And
that's my biggest
worry. Yeah, listen, people are nasty.
In confined spaces with many people sneezing, exactly. Coughing,
oh, Sophie, rails, it's the worst. It's the worst.
Trying to stand on the tube, you have to support yourself somehow.
It's the worst, Sophie. It's the worst.
This is why I make like he can't kiss me before I go wash your face, go wash your hands.
Go wash your face, wash your hands. But I've been washing my hands as soon as I come home from work or as soon as I get into the office. I wash my hands and stuff like that. I don't want
you to even embrace me.
Don't.
With your dirty hands. Like,
you know what? This actually getting to the point where people, especially in the workplace,
handshakes
there's something.
Are changing.
Yeah, handshakes. Don't handshake. There's like elbow knock.
Elbow knock.
To be honest, I never like to handshake people because when their hands are all wet and clammy. Ugh.
Oh yeah.
Like, please don't touch
I
my hands.
Shake hands and I find like, I don't know, I think maybe it's a Kenyan thing. Mm-hmm. When we are greeting somebody, you shake the hand.
Uh-huh.
But every time I've stretched my hand out to, especially white people, I think they look at my hand like, whoa.
Oh really?
Oh yeah, I've noticed that. For
how
sure.
How dare they?
For sure. I just, no, I wouldn't say how dare they. I think it's just how they greet people. They greet people verbally, not verbally and physically.
Oh, do you mean, so you're not talking about the workplace, are you talking about like social?
Yeah, just generally. Ah. I'm like, know you, we've talked before, but immediately I go, hi, and I put my hand out. I get this kind of like, oh.
Yeah, it's like a barrier. To be honest, I don't shake hands.
I wave. It's a Kenyan thing.
No, but I think it's a Melissa thing.
Okay.
I wave. Like, I don't want to touch you. I'm very, like, I carry my own sponge from time of dawn.
Oh, yes.
I carry my own sponge to work. Okay, so I've been very aware of coronavirus hygiene before it became a thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so, but yeah, it's very interesting.
Scary. I think it's also scary for me, like in terms of schools.
Oh God, and the children having to wash their hands.
Kids, man, because I'm like, although of course we've taught her how to wash her hands, when she goes to the bathroom, I'm like, you didn't really wash your hands. I did. And she even put her fingers on my nose so that I can smell the whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm like, Bania, the fact is you left there in 10 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore, I know you may have touched water, but really you did not wash.
You touched water.
Wash your hands properly. And then also the fact that you can't, like, I think they've said that Public Health England, I think it was.
Yeah.
Has said that schools won't close.
They won't close.
No. And I'm like, well, damn, like my child is in there with other children.
I thought they were going to close. No. Oh, actually, that's probably schools in Italy or somewhere that are closing.
Yeah, but in England, I think someone is confirmed.
Until someone's dead.
Basically, until somebody drops dead. Like, they're not going to close schools, which is very scary for me. Because I'm like, why are you infecting my child? Like,
And
there is a school somewhere in Surrey, I believe, where somebody was diagnosed with this.
Mm.
And the parents were like, no one is going home.
What?
Yeah. I'm like, excuse me. So we just all get infected, basically.
That is quite scary, especially when it comes to children and people not being honest with themselves.
Not being honest.
Being honest with how ill they are or anything. It's just mad.
And the information is out there. If you have certain symptoms, please just quarantine yourself in your little
for 2 weeks, people.
House. And then people still want to go to the surgeries and make the doctor sick, the nurse sick, the old person sick. Call 111.
That's where it's like ignorance. This really plays a very big part. Like, whether you feel like you have the coronavirus or not, why would you think that catching a taxi or catching a bus to the GP or, you know, getting to the GP surgery that you just don't think you're infecting a lot of people?
Yeah, you're just spreading it. And of course, now the sad thing also that's coming out of this is now the mass panic. Like, have you seen how, like, supermarkets have run out of toilet paper?
In where I am, my local Superdrug, there's no hand sanitizer.
Oh, there's no hand sanitizer. I went in Guildford a month ago. My friend and I, because we were like, oh, coronavirus, let's go get
hand sanitizer.
By the time we got to Superdrug, they told us, by the way, there's nowhere on the high street that has this thing. This was a month ago.
Oh my God. It's really not there.
I ordered mine from Amazon. I think we got the last two and we were trying to get like two or three. They're like, they're gone on Amazon. And she went to the back.
Oh my gosh. Even hand wash is gone.
Toilet paper. I'm seeing this. Online profiteers sell hand gel for £120. And one of my friends posted on her Facebook today that she got number one formula. Mm. Like, she can't get formula for her baby.
Oh my gosh.
And the delivery guy told her that he had delivered 95 rolls of toilet paper to one house.
Wow.
They're gone. That's
ridiculous.
Yeah.
That is so selfish. Let me just go on Amazon right now and just try and find myself some hand sanitizer.
Get yourself. But you know, also they say it's the alcohol content, so not all.
Yeah, not all. But I've always tended to get the one that says kills 99.9% of bacteria. If I don't see that on hand washes and hand sanitizer, then it's not doing anything for me. I don't want to get no fluffy one that smells like bubblegum. I need something that's actually gonna kill those germs.
Yeah, this is crazy though, isn't it? Yeah, I think I'm trying not to.
When's it gonna blow over?
I don't know, girl. I think they said in 2 years.
Oh,
because
gosh.
Of the rate at which it's spreading.
My days.
Because the numbers in England doubled in like a day.
Yeah.
So I'm but isn't just that like probably Lord, normal just for protect some... us.
I know, that's disgusting.
It's
isn't
here.
It?
It's like yeah, we'll just have to. Thank heavens, there have only been how many deaths? Two?
Two deaths
in England so far.
Mm.
From 100 and something people, I think, having contracted it. So that it's...
I think a big part of it...
One could argue that the death rate is still pretty low.
Yeah. Like you know, the average flu, whoever got their flu jab, you know, hey-ho, what's happening now, hey?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I would also say a lot of it comes down to blooming hygiene. And I'm not just talking about washing your hands.
Mm.
Don't, just cover your mouth. I'm sorry. I'm just cover so passionate about this. Cover your mouth, man. That's why it spread so fast from China to Europe so quick to America. Like, cover your mouth.
Mm.
Wash your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't have the sniffles. When you come from the toilet, guess what? Wash your hands, please.
Yes.
Hello?
Absolutely.
When you come from outside, wash your hands, please.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, I think this coronavirus has caught people out how dirty they actually are.
Yeah.
Like, this is really exposed the dirtiness of people. Like, seriously, it's just mad. But I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with this coronavirus.
No, I guess you just keep watching grief.
Watching. I was saying the other day, like, this is so depressing because obviously, like, the months of February, March have been so depressing. It's cold, it's raining, it's wet, it's miserable. But we can't even go on holiday because of coronavirus.
No, that's the other thing I was thinking. Thank heavens I'm a lastminute.com. I don't book my
holidays. I know,
holidays.
Right? Like, because I was saying to my friends, oh, we should go to Greece. I'm so glad we haven't booked. Lord, have
I
you
know.
Mercy.
I know.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Has booked all their holidays and now they're
Because I don't know what's going to happen with insurance or anything.
No. I don't know
but
if
you're
covered.
But we can't go anywhere.
I don't know.
No, well, it depends, doesn't it?
I don't think
you're going to be covered for too
There's
long.
There's so many things to think about. The economy is
going
to...
The economy's already gone down. If you go into a restaurant, no one's going to restaurants.
I know.
Because there's a lot in restaurants. There are, if you think about it, a lot of foreign chefs. In a normal day, as I said, coronavirus is really exposing dirty people because if you actually look in kitchens, in restaurants, they don't cover their mouths when they're cooking. They don't wear gloves.
Yes.
They don't wear hats.
Yeah.
Okay? They are probably picking it. They're doing all sorts of madness. They're talking over the food.
Yeah.
That's on a normal day, let alone coronavirus. Okay?
Insert coronavirus.
Now insert coronavirus and it's just like, wow, epidemic. You're actually really going to eat out in restaurants? You better make.
What was I going to say? I went to have my nails done.
Oh, yeah.
And these Oriental, I don't know where they're from, but I can tell you, I've never walked to a place so empty. In fact, I wanted to walk out as who has coronavirus here? Because I've never come here and there is nobody.
No,
like, all the seats were...
But to be honest, that's another place where you could really catch it because they're touching your hands. And whenever I've got my nails done, it's so clammy. I'm just like, ugh. Because I know, there was one, I think I was telling you this before, and I went to a nail shop and there was this one guy, he had a very long pinky nail. Very long nail. And I sat, because he didn't have anyone to serve at that moment. He wasn't doing anyone's nails, a nail technician.
Yeah.
And when I was getting my nails done, I was watching him. And my guy was full on picking his nose, you know, picking it out.
Digging
and
for gold.
When I say digging and flicking, digging and flicking and wiping, digging, flipping, wiping, okay? Whatever was coming out of his nose. And I was watching him. I was watching so hard. You know those kind of stares where you want to dig in someone so they can look back at you?
Yeah, yeah.
My guy looked at me and continued, you know, He didn't see it as a problem.
For you, girl. Just say, yeah, then, watch me dig.
But then not only that, so if you would have thought, okay, you're going to dig, have your moment. You're going to wash your hands, right? No. Someone comes in to get their nails done. He sits down, takes their hands and continues to do their nails. I'm thinking, what a dirty person.
Yeah.
And that's picking your nose. That's without coronavirus.
Yes.
You need to wash your hands, please. Wash your, my gosh, I can't. Yeah, but this is mad. It's going to spread quickly because people are dirty. They're not clean.
Yeah. It's going to spread. The fact that people are dirty.
Yeah.
That's, yes.
That's why. Then my sister was saying that when it first started coming out, the coronavirus, there was some lady in China that, there was some video going around with some lady in China who had coronavirus or she had symptoms, whatever she had. Mm. There was a recording of her in a lift and she purposely sneezed on all the buttons. And she purposely coughed and like licked her mouth and stuff and licked her tongue, like, and licked her hand, sorry, and wiped it all on the buttons to basically spread the corona. People are not only dirty, they're wicked. People are wicked, okay?
Right, thank you.
Yeah. Wow. So there are some wicked people out there, okay, who are purposely spreading the coronavirus. So I'm afraid that this thing is not going to go away because people don't care.
We just have to brace ourselves.
People are going to continue to cough and continue to want to wash their hands. They don't care because they will think, well, if I've got this, I don't care now. that's honestly, probably the mentality that they're going to have.
Please just be responsible. Be hygienic.
Please do.
Please just look after... We've talked about sisterhood. Look at your brother's keeper. So don't just be here spreading.
Yeah.
All the please diseases. Don't. Eh?
Please. And please use your common sense. Mm-hmm. Like
common sense. Exactly. Common
just
sense.
Just use
approach.
Your common sense. Don't go out.
We
if
could
you've
have
got
killed
something.
This thing if we had a bit more. And people who are traveling to areas that know full well.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's an epidemic and you're still going.
Yeah.
And then you want to come back home.
And you want to come back home and resume as normal. No, thank you. No, please. You know, I'm so proud of my country, Barbados. Can I just say before we wrap this up? So as I think it was about 2 weeks ago when coronavirus was this starting out. Mm-hmm. And there was that ship. I think it was the famous, well, not the famous ship, but the ship that's been spoken about, the cruise ship, that one that wasn't able to dock anywhere. And it fast up itself in Barbados, you know.
Oh,
it tried to dock in Barbados. But was it a government in Barbados say, no, thank you. Goodbye. And they send them on
the
their
Kenyans
way.
Kenyans who invited a whole aeroplane from China. Oh. Who is inviting Chinese people to their car? I'm sorry. A whole plane with 200 and something Chinese who are not quarantined. They are walking the streets and the government have no clue where these people are.
Oh, no.
So, as much as I wanted to go home this year... Trust and believe I ain't. Sorry.
You're not going home.
I'm not about to.
But yeah.
I'm being wise now. I'm like,
Let's be wise, people. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Also, as much as we individually definitely have a responsibility, be clean, wash your hands, but also the government as well. Like,
I
haven't been to any airports, so I don't really know. But from about a week ago, I was watching on the news where the airports in the UK were not screening and vetting people. They were just letting them walk right on through. On their way. And it's like, my gosh, wow. But anyway, shall wrap that up.
On that happy note.
So, yeah, lessons learned, people. Please be clean.
Please
take
clean.
Responsibility.
Love is not blind.
Love is not blind. Mark is blind. And Kenya Moore,
and
I still
Kenya,
love you, girl.
All the best
I'm rooting for you, Kenya. So, yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Life Lately podcast. We've had fun recording it, and I hope you've had fun listening to it. As always, we would appreciate your feedback. Comment on our Instagram page, that's at Life Lately Pod. Comment also on Facebook, that's the Life Lately Podcast. Also, when you have, you know, 30 seconds, a minute or so, you know, rate, review, subscribe.
After you've washed your hands from coming outside.
As long as I'm not in contact with you, I don't care. But do what you will, but make sure you leave a nice review and rate the podcast on iTunes or wherever it is that you're listening.
Yes.
So thank you again for joining us. Until next time, take care.
Bye.